Welcome back to the Popcorn Hour. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, James.
And today we are talking Fantastic Four. So as we record this now, it's Monday. We went and watched it on Friday, on opening day. And we did watch it in a Norwegian movie theater. And in our last episode, we talked a little bit about our movie theater experience there. But now that we're talking about Fantastic Four, I think we can really kind of describe being in the theater itself, not just the outside stuff.
So if you didn't watch the last episode, that won't really make sense, but currently we're in Norway. That's why our set looks weird and these chairs are at completely different heights, and one of them, this one, is very uncomfortable. So if you're seeing the video version, my mic is on two mic boxes. This room is really uncomfortable and egregiously hot.
Yeah, I think it might be better for us to just move rooms.
Yeah, I mean, we only have like 2 days left.
I know.
Well, didn't Dad said that their room was out?
Yeah, that is true. We'll be fine.
But, yeah, it was our first time being in a foreign movie theater. And if you've seen our Instagram, we're actually really close by to where one scene from Tenet, Christopher Nolan's movie, was filmed. So we recreated a shot from that. You can go look at it on our Instagram. That was really cool. We didn't really expect to do that, but it was really cool.
Yeah. I didn't think too many movies were filmed here in Norway that weren't
a lot Norwegian. Of the Mission Impossible movies were. Like, a lot of the stunts.
Yeah, okay. I could see that. Yeah. But yeah, we weren't planning on going to a Norwegian movie theater before we made this trip. We just figured we'd watch it when we got back. And then we figured out that we could watch a movie here, and it was one of the best decisions we made regarding watching movies,
I think. That was, so for years, I've said that the best movie theater experience for me was Oppenheimer, because we saw it, I think, opening weekend, but we saw it in IMAX. Like, I was in the dead center seat of the movie theater, so that was just awesome. But this one, we didn't like look up anything, because why would we? But like, we kind of went in blind because we didn't know how similar or how different it was going to be. Before we got here, we thought it was going to be like kind of the same. And then like right before, we thought it was going to be pretty different. And it was different with like stuff I didn't really think about, like butter. Like, they don't put butter in their popcorn. Yeah. Unless you get, like, the buttered popcorn. They had, like, six different gourmet popcorns, by the way.
Yeah. Just when we walked in, I mean, they had statues from different movies. The movie posters were all digital and changed. That's smart. And they weren't really movie posters. They were banners.
Yeah.
So
that was really cool.
Yeah. And it's multi-story, which I've never been in a multi-story movie theater before.
There were also, like, the posters that are on, like, a loop. So there's like slight movement in it.
Yeah.
So like for the Fantastic Four one, like Johnny has his like hand up waving or something like that, and his hand's just kind of waving back and forth.
Yeah.
And then like the F1 movie, it was like Brad Pitt like nodding his head or something.
Yeah. It was really cool. And I'm glad we did it. We got to try some different candies and popcorn and all the stuff that they got. But inside the theater itself, we did watch it at IMAX. It was so large.
I didn't know that like theaters could be that big. It was like 4 or 5 stories of seats.
Yeah. Honestly, by looking at it, it didn't really look like it was more seats. Like, there might have been like 1 or 2 more rows, but like the from floor to the ceiling was almost twice as big as
it was like an arena
theater. Yeah, it was huge.
I didn't know that movie theater screens like would get that big.
Yeah, the screen itself, you pretty much had to turn your head to look.
We did, since we're in Norway, they played the, I don't even know if there is a Norwegian dubbed version.
Yes, yeah. So, because when I was looking at the tickets online, and it made me nervous when we walked in because they didn't ask us, but there were 2 showings of it. One was English with Norwegian subtitles. And the other one was Norwegian with language with English subtitles. So it made me nervous up until, because the ads itself were different. Like, they were just, they were ads. They weren't previews or anything. Like, it was a bunch of just ads.
Yeah, all the ads were in Norwegian. There was, like, one English one.
There were a handful of English ones. Like, they kind of went back and forth.
There was a Coca-Cola ad. And then there was, I think, like, an app or something.
Yeah.
And then it was, they played, like, just a bunch of random, like, ads that you would see on TV.
Yeah.
And then, which, I've been to a theater that has done it in, like, probably 10 years, but they fully black out the theater. No lights at all. Because yeah. Usually now, like, in the States, they just dim the lights. It was pitch black.
Yeah, and, it was super cool.
And then it played, like, 3 movie trailers.
Yeah.
And then just went straight into the movie.
Yeah, we saw an extended teaser for The Odyssey. What else did we see?
Predator? No. Avatar.
Avatar.
Tron?
No, it wasn't Tron. It was something else that we weren't interested in.
Oh, yeah, because I remember we were like...
The only one we were interested in was The Odyssey.
We were like, oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, but...
I don't remember what that was.
Yeah, I don't either. Obviously, it was forgettable, so...
Oh, yeah, how did it feel to do the slate for the first time?
It's harder than it looks.
So, the slate that we do at the beginning, if you listen to the audio version, it's the clap at the beginning. The video version, you know what it is at the beginning. But it's the thing that you see in, like, movie bloopers when they hold it up in front of the camera. This thing, if you're watching the video. That was your first time doing it.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier when you're on set because you don't actually really care.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, watching you do it sometimes and it takes you seven or eight times to do it. I'm like,
well, I do it
how
like,
could you not do it?
I do it like 3 times extra just to be safe.
Yeah. And then I try to do it and like trying to get it even and to where you could see it on the camera as well as not moving too much and just moving your finger to close it. Yeah.
But anyway, honestly, if you're thinking about going out of the country, out of the US or wherever you're watching this, to go see a foreign or go to a foreign movie theater, it's worth it. I don't know if we just got lucky or not. Also, we forgot to mention, when you walk in, it's a candy store. Like, yeah. It was a giant candy store, and then we asked 3 employees, like, their favorite candy. We got a chocolate one, we got a berry one, and then we got a mixed berry one and a strawberry candy.
Yeah.
A little different, but it was pretty good. And then I got a regular popcorn, and then he got a popcorn that came with, like, these bacon, pork rind, chicharron things.
Yeah, those were really good.
Different.
Yeah, those were really good, and especially if you mix the two.
And then they had like different snack bags.
Everything you got yourself, including the popcorn. So it was
and super your drink. Cool. Like you literally just like if you wanted a drink from like those Coke dispensers where they have like it's a screen and like all the sodas, you just get it and then you just take everything to the checkout. Which I feel like they should do that in the States.
Yeah, but I did notice the Coca-Cola drink dispenser for the fountain drinks, there was only 5 options.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, it was a small one. They only had 5 options. Everything else was in a bottle.
And then we did we both got slushies, but they were Fanta sodas, which when we went to the World of Coke in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And we tried the blue raspberry Fanta, I was like, this would be a perfect slushie.
Yeah.
And then we had it.
Yeah, it was really good.
Once it like kind of melted a little bit. It was still carbonated.
Which you didn't like it.
I thought it was weird because it scared me. It
was like, I was pleased.
Is there like Pop Rocks in here?
Yeah, I was pleased with the carbonation, that it still kept the carbonation, which I feel like normal slushies in the US don't do that.
Okay.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, and like when we were watching the movie, it was so loud in there.
I was kind of scared when the movie started, or when the trailers were going, because it was like a not the trailer, the normal ads. It was just like a ad about like some sort of like finance app, and it was super loud. And I was like, "This is gonna be a loud movie."
Yeah, and it was, but you got used to it pretty quickly once the actual movie started. So, but are you ready to talk about your first? You wanna
get into the briefly go over what movies we watched since we last filmed.
Yeah.
I'll be quick.
Yeah, it'll be quick.
Last time. So, we watched, after Fantastic Four, we watched Happy Gilmore 2.
I feel like we should do a review on that one. Just because.
Yeah, it was, I was editing when we watched it, but it was weird. I was pretty engaged, just because of how, like, weird it was.
Yeah.
Critically, terrible, awful, bad, but, like, it was a fun, funny watch. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again, but it was...
No. It was an enjoyable movie, and like there was a lot that it was, really like, was unnecessary. Stupid. The amount of cameos in it was a little much, like, but at the same time, it was kind of cool to see like who you could pick out and stuff like that. But like overall, it was enjoyable to a certain extent.
Yeah, it was entertaining. I'll say that.
Yeah,
it was a little kind of dumb, but
yeah, it was unnecessary.
Especially the first like 3 minutes was like crazy.
Yeah.
Insane that they would start Happy Gilmore 2 like that.
Yeah, but I wasn't expecting it.
I didn't log it, but we watched the last 40 minutes of Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah. So that was if I finished my first watch of that, because I watched half of it on the plane.
Our room was like 1,000 degrees because they don't really believe in AC.
Yeah, the weather like here Europe. Is just, it's usually cool. So we decided to come here when it's so hot.
So we decided we just couldn't sleep because of how hot it was in here. So we just started watching. We watched like 3 movies. So then after that, we watched Ted 2. And then we started The Other Guys. And then we like went down to the lobby and they got fans and stuff. Well, went down, no one was there, and then called. And after like 4 days of asking, we finally got fans.
Yeah.
So if you can hear that in the background, it's because we have fans on, and without them it's like 1,000,000 degrees in here.
Yeah, and the fans really help a little bit. There's some moments where it really doesn't, but yeah, we didn't sleep that night because then after that we started The Other Guys, and only, well, I fell asleep when they were Sheila scene at dinner.
I started dozing off at the scene when he does the desk pop when he shoots in the air.
Oh, really?
And then I just kind of kept going in and out, and then fully fell asleep at the... Bye, Sheila.
Yeah, that's the last thing I remember is, bye, Sheila.
And then I started watching Blink Twice, the Channing Tatum movie that came out this year.
I think it was this year, yeah.
I wanted to watch it in theaters, but again, those types of movies, they're only in theaters for like 5 seconds.
Yeah. And did you finish it?
No, I fell asleep in the car.
Oh, you started it today?
Oh, okay. I'm like an hour in.
I didn't see you watching a movie.
Also, Dad was kind of going a little fast, so I like looked at the thing that said that we would be back here at like an hour and like 43 minutes, and the movie was an hour and 43 minutes.
Okay.
And then by the time I hit like an hour, it said that there was going to be like 5 minutes at the end of the movie, so I was like, I'm just going to go to sleep.
Worth a watch? I have it downloaded. So far, that's one of the movies I was planning
on watching. So far, it's like nothing has happened, and it's kind of dragging a little bit, but I feel like almost the end of the second act, I feel like it's going to get interesting.
Okay.
At that point. But so far, I'd say not really.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not really entertaining or so far. It's just kind of Channing Tatum being weird on a private island.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess we'll go into our spoiler-free thoughts of Fantastic Four. I thought that the Norwegian text at the bottom was going to throw me off until we saw the screen. Then it really didn't. But that day I was very, very tired and like really struggling to stay awake.
Yeah, that's the night we stayed up all night, almost all night.
Not because it was a boring movie or not entertaining or not fun, but just because of how tired I was. But I do think that if we saw How to Train Your Dragon, I would have been out within like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe even Superman, because I've seen Superman twice.
Yeah, I saw you dozing off a couple times, and I wasn't going to let you sleep, for sure, but...
I didn't fall asleep once.
Yeah, it was... I mean, that was a long day anyway.
But it was... and, like, something quickly would happen, and it would, like, wake me up, and then it was kind of sad, but when the movie would, like, take a breath, I would start to doze off, just because how tired I was. But I really like those moments a lot. The movie does take a lot of breaths, which I appreciate from superhero media, because I feel like they're just kind of gung-ho, full action. And then this had took a lot of breaths.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Say that again.
It's fantastic.
No, it was good. I really enjoyed it, and then like I was fully engaged the entire time.
I will definitely be going to see this in theaters again when I get back. Do you want to do like our rankings of all the movies now, or you want to do that at the end?
We can do them now.
Okay, so I think
recency bias might come into play, but it's fine.
I think based off of likeness, like how much I like them, they're all like close. Because I really like, not all. Fan4Stick is at the bottom.
Yeah, it's Josh at the bottom.
That's at the bottom. But the...
And we're not going to include the 1994.
Yeah, we're not going to include that because it's unreleased technically. But if you do a quick Google search, you can watch it.
Yeah, but it's also unfair because of like the time.
Yeah, it was very low budget. They didn't really get a lot of funding for it.
Yeah.
And the movie didn't ever like fully get finished, so.
Yeah, yeah. So that one doesn't count. But yeah, Fan4Stick, bottom.
Fan4Stick is at the bottom. We were talking about this earlier. Superhero movies are weird because you can't do your own adaptation, your own like cinematic spin to it, because I don't know, it just that never receives well. I don't know why.
It's because you actually have people that read comic books, and if you try to do something there, it's not like true to the comics. That's what really irritates people about like superhero movies nowadays, because if you don't use the comics and you just kind of use the base as like the for like the characters or whatever, then that creates a problem, because people want to see, especially avid comic book readers, they want to see what they've read. They want to see it come to life. But and it also, with thousands and thousands and thousands of comic books, why wouldn't you use source material? I can understand, and I was thinking about this earlier, I can understand taking a small liberty, like maybe changing like something subtle here and there. But if you start changing like origin stories or the way like costume design or anything like that, that's going to immediately turn people away from it.
The only thing that like throws me off about that is comics do different spin and adaptations themselves. But
that is true. Yeah.
But it's weird when it, and then they do that with the animated movies. Like the mostly, I don't really watch any of the Marvel ones, but because they don't really have that many, but like all the DC animated movies, like they have Gotham by Gaslight, which is if Batman was in the 20s.
Yeah.
Or the 10s ish. Like, and Jack the Ripper is the villain.
Yeah.
Or Superman Red Son, where he lands in Russia. But that's fine. But the second it goes into live action, then it's just hated.
Yeah.
And I think that it's kind of like these Disney live action remakes.
Yeah.
But which what I thought was weird, because I read comics not that much, but like I read comics most, like 99% DC, but this movie felt, it didn't really feel like reading a comic. It felt like watching a cartoon, like the Spider-Man animated series cartoon.
Yeah, it honestly felt like a comic book on the screen to me. Like, I really felt like there were subtle hints of just like, I don't know how to word this, but like it literally felt like they took a comic book and slapped it onto a screen, and they're flipping pages and moving the camera to different panels.
I feel like it feels that way because of the character designs.
Probably.
Because I think they tried to make you feel like you were watching a comic book, but like I always say this, like the movie Kick-Ass, I think, is the perfect comic to film adaptation.
Yeah.
But like that, okay, that felt like you were reading a comic. This movie feels like you're watching one.
Yeah.
And I think that, and it doesn't feel weird.
No, which makes it, I think, sets itself apart from the other ones. Like Fan4Stick is obviously, but Stick it's here.
Is just, I mean, because the director directed the same movie, but taking the movie Chronicle and then just throwing Fantastic Four on that. That's what it is.
So where would you put the other ones?
Oh yeah, I forgot we were doing that. So Fan4Stick, and then I'd say, I don't know, I feel like it depends on the day. But I think I would put the first one.
Next. I would too. Mainly because
I think it's a better put together movie, and it was newer, it was fresh. But the second one, to me, the first act and start of the second act just has better moments.
Yeah,
they're more family-like. They feel more organic.
Yeah, I would say from base, like if I haven't watched the movies in a while, the first one, like I really remember only them getting their powers and then the end fight scene.
I think the and second then
like
act...
I remember a lot of Doctor Doom like transitioning Victor transitioning into Doctor Doom, but other than that, I don't. But I remember a lot from Silver Surfer.
I think the third act of Silver Surfer is pretty forgettable, but
yeah,
the first I think the first two acts, I don't know actually, because the first one, like if I really think about it, I like the movie elements more about it. Like the first act, I really like them getting their powers, and then they're just kind of learning about it, and then the second act when they're going back to the city, and then they're like learning about them more and kind of realizing that they could do something with it. And then the third act, I think, is pretty solid. But then Silver Surfer, it's just kind of like, it's fun and campy for the two acts. And then the third act just kind of feels lazy.
Yeah.
But it's just, it has more like comedic moments. More moments of them being a family, which might make it better. So I would say, I don't know, I feel like I have to put the first one in Silver Surfer at like 2A and 2B. So okay. I would say Silver Surfer is 2B, the first one is 2A, and number one is Fantastic Four First Steps.
Okay. Yeah, I would put Fan Four Stick, the first Fantastic Four, then Silver Surfer, and then this one.
Yeah.
I think if I'm going to watch the Fantastic Four, I'm going to prefer to watch Silver Surfer over the first one.
I feel like it's easier
also,
to watch.
I think at the same time, I don't like origin stories. I'm over origin stories. I like with anything because like I know how that happens. I don't need to watch it. So which is something that made me really like this movie a lot because it's not an origin story at all.
Well, they explain the origin perfectly at the start of the movie.
They touch on it, and then it's done.
They just kind of... What I like about it is it feels like they're just kind of reminding you. They're just giving you a refresh.
Yeah.
It's 2 minutes long. Perfect amount of time. It's not rushed, not dragged out. And it's just like, here it is.
Yeah.
This is what happened, which I think is, like, perfect. Because it's the same way, like, how Superman started. It just explains it with text over 30 seconds. And it's already established what has happened.
Yeah,
that's enough.
That's good. Plenty. That's plenty. And if anybody that didn't know the origin stories, just do a quick Google search at this point. Because there's plenty of material out there to just give it to you for real quick. Or you can just watch an older version. Watch the first Fantastic Four. That'll give you the origin story. It's virtually the same. It's virtually going to be the same in every adaptation.
Except for Fan Four Stick.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one's a little different. But
this might be a hot take, but I don't think Fan Four Stick is bad until right after Reed escapes the compound. After they,
get I think, powers. Yeah, I think so too.
Because after that, the movie just like I think you can argue that with the Green Lantern movie is it's bad when the party scene starts.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, Fan Four Stick. I actually enjoy the beginning of it up until they get their like, powers, and then it reminds me
of Meet the Robinsons a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
And
that's a great movie.
And I've seen more people talk about this recently, but I've always thought this, and I thought it was something that I really enjoyed from Fan Four Stick, is the body horror when they're getting their powers, like Reed stretching, and he's like terrified, and then Johnny's like on fire. The thing is, or Ben is just like freaking out because he's a rock, and then Sue is like in a coma, just in and out of visibility. Like if this happened, this would be terrifying, and it's very like dark, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
That was a cool take.
Yeah.
This one's very, like, lighthearted, but it can be dark.
Yeah.
And I feel like the original two tried to do it, but this just did it better.
Yeah.
It was lighter, and it was darker.
Yeah.
But it was better. And the writing, I think, was perfect for all of them. This was... Because they kind of did this thing with the thing where they didn't really make him he wasn't a monster to himself like in the like original stories.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a later thing, but he didn't see himself as like a monster.
Yeah.
And people really didn't either.
But I mean
there was like elements that you could tell that he could kind of probably have he's probably bearing something about it.
Probably. He probably did feel that way when it happened, you know?
Because there's some stuff
once we get into the spoilers, I have like a kind of a theory. I think that could be the first thing, because we'll go straight into the characters. But I feel like we can talk about the costume design.
Costume design is great.
It's so weird, because if you were to tell me, hey, this superhero movie, they're wearing sweaters, I would be really confused, considering how much I liked the original movie suits. I liked it a lot. It was cool. I like how they just didn't really explain the science behind it. It just works.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, they just have these suits.
Yeah. They didn't take up time from the movie to explain how their suits work.
I think that they
kind of did it for a second, but it was for something different.
I think they all looked perfect. I did not like the casting for Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic at first, because he just doesn't look like him. And based on like other roles he's done, I didn't really think that he could like capture his character, like the Mandalorian or like Joel from The Last of Us. It's very different
from what he's done before.
Yeah.
But I think he did such a good job.
I think he did amazing. Vanessa Kirby, she did really good as the Invisible Woman. I think she had the most character.
Yeah.
The most personality compared to every other version.
Because
I feel like the Fantastic one, she was just like, I listen to music, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And then the original one, I feel like they just kind of made her dumb.
Yeah.
She was kind of there.
Yeah. And then she actually contributed to the situation and of the movie.
We'll go into it for the spoilers, but Johnny has some great character development in this movie.
Yeah, his is so good. He
has definitely always been my favorite character in every movie, except for probably Fantastic. I liked Michael B. Jordan as Johnny, but I feel like none of them meshed well with each other.
No, they didn't. None of them really liked each other.
It just didn't feel right with any of the characters. They all felt like they were doing a different movie.
Yeah.
But Chris Evans and Joseph Quinn both did amazing. And this one, I definitely think that they feel the most like a real family. And I feel like in the original one, it feels like they were forced to do a job together.
Yeah.
Not like the actors, but like they all were like forced to do this astronaut thing.
Yeah.
And then this one, just they feel like a family. And Johnny's not a total idiot.
No. Or they don't focus too much on him being a heartthrob.
Yeah, it's just kind of like everybody knows that Johnny loves women.
Yeah. And he doesn't really focus on that either. The character itself doesn't really focus on that either. Like, he mentions a couple things here and there, but for the most part, like, he's focused on the situation at hand, focused on the rest of the family, and trying to be helpful. Rather than
just be cool.
Yeah. And I think, and even like the thing, like, I really liked his presence altogether.
His character design, at first I thought it was a little weird.
I didn't like it at first.
And then I knew, because the first thing I saw was the behind the scenes stuff. And I knew that they were going to touch up the suit in post. So I didn't really worry about that. But I was like, it's just kind of.
I thought his eyebrow.
I didn't know how the unibrow was going to translate.
Yeah, it looked funny on like the behind the scenes shots, but it worked.
It was great. I do feel like that. I wish that he didn't wear full outfits the whole time. I wish that in the comics he's just wearing pants.
Yeah.
Or like when he's wearing the trench coat, like he doesn't have a shirt on under it.
Yeah.
But his outfits in the movie were really cool, and then at first when I saw all the castings, the only ones that I really liked were Vanessa Kirby and I don't know how to pronounce his name, but the guy that played the Thing. I really kind of found out about him with the TV show The Bear. And then I was like, okay, yeah, he's perfect, because I kind of thought that they were going to go for more the original route of the original Fantastic Four movie, where he's kind of, it's being like the Thing and very gloomy and just depressed, but he was very hopeful, and I think it's pronounced Ebon?
Yes, it's Ebon, yeah.
Yeah, he did great, and he's becoming one of my favorite actors, and I hope that he does a lot more.
Yeah. I think altogether, the chemistry between all four of them was really, really good. Nothing felt awkward. Nothing felt strange or forced. Like, they all meshed very, very well together.
I really like Johnny's, like, fire. Because, like, in the comics, he's always, like, a burnt orange, pun intended. Like, a very dark orange, like, silhouette. And then he just kind of has, like, a fire shape around him. And then usually he has, like, in, like, some of the older versions, he has these, like, lines. These, like, stripes.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this, it was perfect. It was, like, kind of capturing, like, the later designs
mm-hmm.
where, like, the fire, you can kind of, like, see the fire, like, move in, like, the direction of, like, his muscle fibers.
Yeah.
And then throughout, but at the same time, he still had, like, just the dark silhouette, the glowing eyes, and then because of the sweater, had the lines. And he probably had my favorite suit, even though they were all basically similar.
Yeah. I like Pedro Pascal's suit the most. I definitely, with all four of them, probably the most comfortable looking superhero suits.
Also, I noticed when they're, like, running, because they run a few times in the movie, it feels like you're watching, like, a 50s cartoon.
Yeah.
I think that this movie just feels like you're watching, like, a 50s cartoon, but they put it in, like, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, where it has, like futuristic 60s style to it.
And
I loved the technology.
Yeah, the technology.
It was futuristic, but it was old.
Yes, that's... I really like movies set in the 60s because the design that you could do with it, like, I just like that old look, like the old cars, the buildings themselves, like, they look older.
I love, like, they look like they're from the 60s. Round chrome design. Like, yes. That's why I love Fallout.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just visually, like, very appealing.
Yeah. And then the costume design, I like being in the 60s. I really liked it. Even like the sound their design,
reflection, like how they talked, was a little more reminiscent of like the 60s.
Yes, and like the score and stuff felt very 60s-esque.
That score is great.
Yeah, everything about the setting itself was really, really good. And they didn't, like, obviously the Baxter building is futuristic and like advanced technology, but it fit perfectly. It wasn't out of place.
Yeah.
So, like, even, like, yeah, they had fancy technology and, like, the computers and stuff were far better than, like, what the 60s, like, normal person would have had in the movie. But it still had that look. And I was really happy with it.
So, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to talk about spoilers.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Also, Silver Surfer. At first, I didn't really care for what they were doing with it because... At first, I just kind of really didn't want to see them redo the story that they did in Rise of Silver Surfer. And then I loved, like, the Silver Surfer TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was, like, the female version, I was just kind of like, I would like to see both of them rather than just one or the other. Like, I think their story would be really cool if it was both.
Yes, but I am glad that they didn't just, you know, change the gender but have it still be the same person. It's an actual character in the comics.
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
They give her, like, a really good purpose and she's very different from the male Silver Surfer. But her character was really good. Her design and, like, her sound design was great.
Yeah, the sound design was amazing.
And then I do hope that we have both because I think that their story together would be really interesting.
Yeah.
And really cool to see on screen. But I'm ready to go into spoilers.
Yep.
So from here on out, if you haven't seen it, go to a foreign movie theater.
Yeah, there you go. And then come back.
Or recreate a shot.
Yeah, do that.
I don't know if you can do that, but what's the... okay, so...
Oh, okay, so first off, before... Since we're already in this... Since at this point, we're in the spoilers. The one thing I did want to wait until we were in the spoilers was the VFX and the CGI.
Okay.
Mainly because everything about this movie, the CGI and the VFX, were spot on.
Except the thing. At one point, it's obvious that they're on a green screen, and it does feel slightly out of place. But if you weren't really paying attention or, like, looking for errors like that, you probably won't notice. It's very short.
Yeah, it does fix itself pretty quickly, and it's very short. But it was, like, as soon as it, like, was on the screen, I was like, oh, wow.
It might also be because of how big the screen was.
Yeah, that is possible. But also... At the end,
Galactus. With the
baby.
Oh, Yeah, the baby, looks weird at some points.
But Vanessa Kirby says everything is shot with a real baby, which I do believe. I don't know how they would have. Do you know how they would have used a real baby, but CGI'd it into Reed Richards' hands? She said it. Vanessa Kirby went on
that one shot that you're talking about that wasn't real because for like safety reasons that could not have been a real baby.
Okay,
because she was like barely holding onto it, like leaning forward, like borderline dropping the baby. Because it was when she's like carrying the baby down.
Right? No. It's when Reed Richards is holding the baby after Sue died. And he's fumbling the baby.
Yeah, I think for safety reasons, they didn't want to like have a baby just like Pedro Pascal like wearing gloves, like accidentally drop the baby.
And also like, it's probably very difficult. I know for a fact it's very difficult to get a baby to do something for.
Also would limit like how many hours they can work.
Yeah. But, I mean, she went on record and said it was 100% used a real baby. They used a set of twins. But that shot bothered me so much.
I do think Galactus, sometimes, it's only like once or twice, where his scale is a little inconsistent. But I'm okay with it. I don't really care
that much. Yeah, I didn't really notice too much. Yeah.
It didn't bother me that much. It was just something I like noticed. I love how Vanessa Kirby powers looked, and I like how her powers were very strong, because usually she's like, I can turn invisible for like 5 seconds, or like, oh, I can push something, but for like 5 seconds and I get a nosebleed. She was like arguably the most powerful.
Yeah, she was super powerful, and I like it in the climax of the movie, like her using her powers and the sound on it, and then like her voice, and she's just, you know, grunting, pushing Galactus, I thought was done very, very well. And like, you could see the emotion in her face.
Yeah. She's a really good actor.
Yeah, that was really good. It was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
I just really liked how that like lens flare that they had on her powers. It's very, because usually it's just like a purple or like just a distorted shape.
Yeah.
This was just like, it felt like in The Force Awakens when Kylo Ren like stops the blaster for the first time. It felt like that. It was really cool. We can also, going into VFX, go into the color. The color was super bright and just very, I don't know what's the proper word to use, but just super fun and engaging. It was really expressive.
Yeah. I guess. And it felt like the 60s. Like the color, like they had it. I wouldn't say like it was bright, but at the same time it wasn't, because
it was
shot with an old camera.
It felt very saturated, but not oversaturated, just very full. The color felt very full, and that was something that I think really shined. And
even when they used, and they were doing like the origin story flashbacks, it was like
the TV show.
Yeah, and it was just like footage.
It felt perfect.
Yeah, it felt
like you were watching the moon landing.
Yeah, and it was like the perfect time frame and.
I like how they didn't actually show the cosmic ray. It's just, you visualize what happened. And I like,
you hear it. You hear what happens.
You hear it.
But, over comms.
And I think that was such a smart idea also to save money and to help the viewer visualize what happened.
Yeah.
Because if there's a thing about movies that if you let your audience just figure it out, they will enjoy the movie for. But if you baby them and coddle them through what is happening and just give exposition for everything that is happening, then you as a viewer kind of feel like they're making you feel stupid.
Yeah.
And therefore you won't like it as much. And I feel like this was just a very simple way of letting the audience infer themselves.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that a lot.
What did you think about when they were showing footage of the origin story and they land and Ben punches out the door and he's already the thing?
I thought that was really cool because they didn't like fully show him.
No.
It was just like his arm.
And what I mean is like, do you prefer that more than like in the original where when the ray hits them and then you slightly see like their bodies changing, but then like they're normal back in the hospital and then they slowly start changing over time?
I like to think that like what happened then is like Johnny is just on fire, like kind of freaking out. and then like Sue is invisible, and then I'm assuming that Pedro, or not Reed, is just kind of like can't like keep form of his own body.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming, like, if I was Ben Grimm and I was just Rock, then I would probably be trying to like rip it off or just get out of whatever I'm stuck in.
Yeah, it'd probably feel like a claustrophobic moment.
Yeah, and I would probably try to just get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that. I thought that was cool. Also, if because of like how much of like a father figure he felt, I feel like him seeing his, what basically to become his, like his brother, basically his sister, basically his other brother, all look like they are dead. I'm sure that he would have been like freaking out over that too. So I thought that was a cool thing that they did. I feel like going into the characters. I really liked how Johnny deciphered Shalabal's language.
Yes. Yeah.
Himself within a week.
Yeah.
It was him proving that he's not just an idiot, because otherwise
he can actually contribute to
the team. One thing that I just didn't like about the original one is it's like, he's, why is he there? Like, he's not contributing anything. He's just there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
like, he should be there for a reason.
Yeah, it was nice for him to show that he can actually contribute to the team and do something beneficial. Even though it seemed like the other characters kind of dismissed him a lot.
Mm-hmm. But like, he was great on the gun when he was like shooting.
Yeah. But like, they just kind of like, he had these like ideas, and then like they all just kind of, like with the new suits, mm-hmm. for wanting Reed to finish the suit so that they could go back up into space and do stuff like that, and Reed just kind of dismissed him and things like that. And then even Sue kind of dismissed him when he was doing the deciphering and thought he was just wasting time.
And it seemed like Ben tried to look out for him the most, because I think,
yeah, they were definitely like best friends. They had that best friend moment and quite a bit, which was nice. Like, they weren't fighting. No, I liked how like there was arguments.
They had like a very brotherly bond.
Yeah, and it was
he even refers to both of them as uncles.
Yes,
said, we're going to be the best uncles.
And it was very like, yes, there was arguments, obviously tension during certain parts of the movie, but like they were still in sync no matter what.
When he's like, before dinner, and he's like, "What time is it?" And he's like, "I'm not doing it."
Yeah,
and he like just turned away, and he's like, almost got it.
Yeah, I did. I liked how like they didn't make that his catchphrase.
Yeah,
it was just for cartoon purposes.
Which they did that in the original movie too, when he like had the toy, mm-hmm. and then he's like,
"It's clobbering time."
Yeah, that was
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, all the like catchphrases and things were like, obviously Johnny didn't say flame on once.
I was a little disappointed by that.
I was too. But we did hear it in the toy from the box of cereal.
Because it also goes,
flame on.
And then even when they said, even like, because obviously you have to put in some type of dialogue where they say fantastic.
Yeah.
And I liked how Ben did it, where he was talking about food.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But then you watch Forstick, and that one felt so forced.
It's fantastic. Say that again.
Yeah, that one was awful. But also, this one was great.
The thing was naked throughout that entire movie. That was weird.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
My favorite probably line that Ben says is when they're, him and Herbie are making food, and then
that was cool.
Or when he's like, I'm just going to add a little bit of garlic. Not because it's not good, but just add a little zip.
Yeah, I think
that was definitely reminiscent of the bear.
Yeah, Ben was great comic relief.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting him
because usually that much he's comic. Just like depressed.
Yeah, he's the brooding one.
Oh, so the thing I mentioned earlier that I think kind of here's the thing. The earlier or later in the movie, they just keep cutting off power so they can defeat Galactus with these like portals, and he's like shaving with a grinder.
Yeah,
and he like shaves half his face, and then Johnny like sees him, and he goes, "You missed a spot." And then he's like, I like the beard. You should grow it out. And he's like, really? Like, it looks good? And I think that kind of shows how he is a little insecure.
Yeah. The The beard thing was a little weird.
I liked the beard thing.
It was cool. When I first saw the trailer or the teaser for it or the trailer, when he had the beard, I was like, why are they giving him a beard?
He's a rock. That does throw me off because he has hair when they go to space.
Yeah,
on his head.
It's not much,
but he still it's short. Has like he's. It was kind of like dad's hair when it was short.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like a normal haircut, but like, yeah. So, I guess you could say that the continuity in that doesn't add up. But
I'm okay with it. It looked cool.
Yeah, the beard, it grew on me.
The one thing that did throw me off at him is him not having a gravelly voice, which is fine. But then I'm just curious because his organs are supposed to be changed.
Yeah, everything inside it should be a rock.
So his vocal cords should be rocks like hitting each other.
Yeah,
so I feel like it should have changed a little bit, but after like hearing his voice, I don't really care.
Yeah,
I thought it was fine.
This
but Shia LaBeouf, the Silver Surfer, her voice design was so cool. That was like, it was kind of piercing in the theater, and it felt cosmic, and that was really interesting.
Yeah. Is somebody knock on their door?
I think somebody's knocked.
Go check. We just took a slight break. We're the only ones with a fridge, so
yeah, no one else has a fridge.
All of our drinks
or as much like storage that we have. So
Shia LaBeouf,
her, I feel like her motives were cool. I like that we saw her, like a 5-second origin. That was cool.
I liked it was the perfect scene in that, like her backstory.
Yeah,
like the everything, like the background, everything looked it. It looked like a scene from Prometheus.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. Because I everything about like Prometheus, the way everything looks in that movie, is so good. And
it felt like a Halo game.
Yeah. It was just like...
Oh, no. One of the planets that like Thanos like slaughters.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. And the way she transformed into the Silver Surfer was cool.
It weirdly reminded me of the original like Tomb Raider game. Like, if you stood on, like, the thing that turns people to gold.
Yeah.
And what's her name? Whatever the Tomb Raider's name is.
Lara Croft.
Wow, that was crazy. I might take that out.
I got in trouble by Elizabeth for knowing who that was.
Why?
We're watching... Jolie? No. Remember in the first season of Dexter? What's her face? Dexter's girlfriend?
Rita.
She dresses up like Lara Croft. Yeah. My wife did not like it when I knew who she was dressed up as. She's like,
why is she about Dexter a lot?
Yeah, well, that's because I'm watching it right now. She was like, why is she dressed like that? And I was like, she's Lara Croft.
She's the Tomb
Raider. Like, who? Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider.
I like.
And she got so mad at me.
I like the later movie.
Yeah,
but I my only issue with her, and I haven't read the female Silver Surfer comics, but. I didn't like how she didn't really have a bond with her board. I feel like, well, I guess that kind of makes sense.
It wasn't a...
It felt like a parasitic relationship. Like, it was very forced. Like, it was a tool for her that she didn't want to have to use.
Yeah.
But I feel like the male Silver Surfer, especially in the original movie, is very connected with the board. And yeah. He's a little too reliant on it.
Yeah. But...
I feel like she wasn't.
She wasn't. And it wasn't, like, at the forefront of, like...
And she was, like, a legit surfer, and the male one's pretty just...
Just straight. Straight. But she did a lot of, like, actual surfing, like, in the lava.
Yeah, in the lava, she, like, had a wave.
Yeah, which was super cool. Her monologue, when she first arrived to Earth, like, they showed it in the trailer.
I herald your beginning.
Yeah.
Actually, no, hold up. You do.
I herald your end. I herald Galactus. It's not quite like that. I think it's
beginning. I herald your...
That went the wrong way.
Oh. I herald his beginning, your end. I herald Galactus.
Yeah, that was...
But the sound of her voice...
was so cool.
It was really, really cool. And even when she's like, are you the protectors of this world? And Sue's like, yes, we are. Like, the way she delivered that line was super cool. I just found out. I told you this earlier, but that monologue scene was the Silver Surfer. I can't remember the actress's name. That was her first day on set.
That's crazy.
But I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like, what I
Yeah, what you said made a lot of sense, where it was like, it's because, like, it works better because she doesn't know these people, and she, like, there might be nerves, but it might be easier to deliver that type of monologue.
Because she probably, because her character would feel alien to them.
Yes.
And based on, like, her motives towards the end of the movie, she definitely felt guilty.
Yeah.
So.
And she was like, when they filmed it, it was cool to know how they film stuff like that, and how she was just on a 30-foot crane on a surfboard. It's got to be scary, too.
I do like how she stood out, because she was more realistic, I guess. Because the design for her is they wanted her to look like an old trophy.
Yes.
That's why she had, like...
Like an Oscar.
They might win one. Probably not.
No, probably not.
But I like... It kind of looked like there's dust on it. Like... It's not as shiny in certain spots.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like an old trophy.
Yeah, and something that we didn't see in this movie, whereas, like, in Rise of the Silver Surfer, the...
Lawrence Fishburne's voice is amazing as the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I like that. But when he's disconnected from his board, he turns matte, and we didn't see that at all.
Matte?
So I was okay with that.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what usually happens to the...
Like she gets beat up. A few times. There we go. She gets beat up a few times where she just gets, and but she when she gets beat up, it's like she goes to,
she doesn't
like off out of frame.
Yeah.
And then when she comes back, she's on the board and she's just kicking ass.
My biggest issue with her is she just kind of disappears in the third act.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. And I think what would have made the
bit that better. Final moment better, I do think.
Really? I don't think so.
Her, like, show, because. I think it made it better because it, like, showed her sacrifice just kind of out of left field. Just her showing up was out of left field. But then Johnny's line, which I feel like was the most, by far, the most emotional heavy, most probably impactful, like, line out of Johnny, where he says, tell Franklin Uncle Johnny loves him.
Yeah.
I thought that was the
hardest
emotional beat.
Yeah.
And then, because he, like, does it without hesitation, because, I mean, they have to, like, have those sacrifices. So, like, he looks, he sees that the thing is about to close, and then sees that he's like, I have to do this, or we're screwed. So, without hesitation, he just does that, and then she just comes out of nowhere. Because at that point, you almost kind of forget about her, because of how intense... This is because I thought that Galactus was going to win. So I was like, oh, this is it. And then it kind of distracted me from her character. And then she just shows up and then just mollywops him.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I think because of Johnny's line saying that, I think that makes it okay. Because at first I wanted them to, like...
I thought he was actually going to die.
I didn't. For a second, I
was like, actually, like, they might kill him.
Yeah. I did think that for, like, a split second. But I thought, at first, I thought it would have been better to show her face, of, like, show the struggle of, like, trying to make this decision. Like, should I help them? Because we already knew, like, at that point, we knew her backstory. So we knew that she's forced into this situation. She doesn't want to do it and would love to be free of this situation. So it would have been nice to have seen that. But I guess since you explained it that way... I'm glad they did it the way they did it. And
you good?
Yeah, I'm trying to. So with her disappearing with Galactus, I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
Because, like, we don't know what's going to happen.
I feel like she's kind of squirmy.
Yeah.
Like she'll get out. But the first time that we see Galactus, the guy that played him, have you heard his voice?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Well, yeah, when you first see Galactus and he just kind of sits forward, like, I was like, where is he going to come from? Like, is he going to come up from here? And then you see his silhouette and he just comes forward and it's just a giant head, which I guess, like, scale wise compared to, like, when he's in New York is very different.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's very, like, different, but, like, you kind of get nervous.
I usually think that Galactus looks goofy because of how. Usually he's just so bright and colorful, and I'm just like, this guy's intimidating. I was like, this guy's pretty intimidating. I'm
super happy with his costume design.
Because I do think if it was brighter, it would have been a little off-putting.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, it wasn't too muted, but it was kind of, they kind of switched it to be more chrome.
Yeah. And I like how they explained that, like, obviously Galactus doesn't want to do what he's doing. He doesn't want to eat worlds.
He's just hungry.
He's forced to do it, which was a nice touch to add, where it's just like...
He just seems pissed off that he's, like, stuck with this, but he's just kind of like, game's a game.
Yeah.
I gotta eat.
And I'm excited to see Franklin as an adult.
Yeah.
And I'm like, throughout the whole movie, like, it's a time frame. Like, it's this huge span of 9 months, 8 months, or...
Yeah.
I didn't even know. It's more than 9 months, because obviously the baby's around. Franklin's around for a little bit, but...
I thought that was cool.
It's probably like 12, 13 months.
When they go to see Galactus and, like, Sue's just walking around pregnant.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
She's pregnant in real life. Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, how she's just, like, showing up to Galactus, just, like...
Yeah, super pregnant, and then, like, a baby gives birth in space. Or she gives birth to a baby in space.
Yeah. That was... Oh, and then when Silver Surfer, like, when Shalabal, like, reaches into her stomach.
Yeah.
Also, I really like the...
That was addition. Insane.
Yeah. I was like, this is dark.
Yeah. That was so crazy.
I do like Johnny's line where he's like, don't tell me how to kill sexy aliens. Also, Joseph Quinn sounds just like Ryan Gosling in this movie.
Yeah, he does. Like, it's weird.
Just like him. And it does... It kind of throws me off. Because when he's, like, screaming, like, when he's shouting that, or when he's, like, what time has it been?
Yeah, that one specifically sounds just like it.
I'm not going to say Ryan Gosling. That moment was really cool, too. But he sounds like Ryan Gosling in The Place Beyond the Pines.
Yeah, I kind of don't like that you told me that, because I don't like Ryan Gosling.
I don't know why.
I just don't like his movies.
He's me.
No, he's not. Not even close. He's not my favorite. He's not even in the top.
I don't know why you don't
like. I just don't. I don't like his, like, he doesn't, I don't have a good reason not to like him, but I just don't. I don't like any of the movies he's in. There hasn't been
any of the movies? Hold up.
I don't think there's a single movie that I actually really, really like that he's in.
Not a single movie.
I don't think so.
Hold up.
Pause.
There's no.
Time out.
What?
Keep on.
What was?
Nothing.
What just happened?
Time out from, like, what we were actually supposed to be talking about. Oh. So that you can...
Yeah, whoa, that was weird. Threw me off. I was like, did the camera stop?
Oh, no.
Drive? You've seen Drive, though.
Yeah.
Okay. The Fall Guy.
I didn't watch it.
That's a good movie.
You didn't like it.
Critically, it's not great. I love that movie. Okay. That was, like, my favorite movie of 2024. Yeah.
But you didn't like that movie.
I love that movie a lot. You're not going to watch Barbie. You're probably not going to watch La La Land. That was a fantastic movie.
What?
La La Land?
Say that again?
That's fantastic. It was a great movie. I like Damien Chazelle's director, but Blade Runner.
I didn't watch it.
The Notebook. Don't answer that.
Didn't like
it. I don't like The Notebook. Crazy Stupid Love.
Didn't watch it.
You just haven't watched... What movies have you seen?
You've seen a lot of movies, but...
Remember the title? No, what Ryan Gosling movies have you seen?
He's in Remember the Titans?
Yeah, he's...
Oh, I love that movie. But not because...
Wait, doesn't he play...
Okay, yeah, I know who... Yeah.
Wait, who does he play? Does he play...
He just... I think...
Oh, he's... no, he's not Sunshine. Isn't that Havoc?
Yes. No.
No, no, Sunshine...
Not. Sunshine is... I can't think of his name.
His name is Kit.
Yeah.
Like, from Napoleon Dynamite, his brother? Yeah. Yeah, he played Ray. Nope, he played Alan.
Yeah, he wasn't very prominent in that movie.
Nope. Have you seen First Man?
No.
Have you seen Only God Forgives?
Nope. I think it's just I don't watch movies that have Ryan Gosling in it.
I don't think that's not a good take. You just have to, that's a bad take.
I don't like him.
Why?
I don't like his face.
That's not a good reason.
I told you I don't have a good reason not to like him. I just don't. Nothing against him. I just don't like him, which I guess is something against him, but.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah.
Anyway, from that stupid take.
I don't know. I just can't. Watch a movie with him in it. Except Remember the Titans. That's a classic movie, and I absolutely love that movie.
I don't know. Okay. You also watch Star Wars, weird.
That might skip the Star Wars movie he's in. I don't know.
Well, Sean Levy's directing that, so I don't really know how that's going to...
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, the editing, I guess we'll just go into that. I really liked the sequence editing of this. Thought it was pretty good. The sound design, we've kind of talked about that-ish. But each character had their own like distinctive sound. Reed Richards had the worst power set in this version. Galactus literally went like this and then restarted splitting. He's not very...
He wasn't very stretchy.
He didn't really transform into anything. He just stretched.
Yeah, he just stretched. That's all it was. Which I...
I don't really think he did anything.
I'm okay with that. Because he's supposedly the lead in Doomsday.
Yeah.
So...
They might do something weird with like how
give,
they did
yeah, Spider-Man. Kind of give me a little bit and then throughout... Because he's going to be... There's probably going to be more Fantastic Four movies. Like, we could lead up to, like, the cooler stuff. Maybe they're saving stuff for Doomsday.
Yeah, I want to see Mr. Fantastic turn into a teacup. Ooh, I actually do like that scene a lot in the original one where, like, he turns into Flat Stanley and puts his, like, fingers under the door.
I watched a deleted scene from one of those movies. And I watched it today. And I didn't know it was a deleted scene, but it was a... Reed is talking to Sue, and he's talking about something about being like a real man or something like that, and he changes his face to Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
That's funny.
It was a really bad rendering of it, but
he doesn't turn to Hugh Jackman, but he just kind of turns into Handsome Squidward. That's what it looks like.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I watched that today, and I was like, that's kind of cool. Although it looked like Wolverine, but I think it only looked like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine because of the hair and facial hair.
We saw a guy that looked like Hugh Jackman the other day at the art museum.
Yeah.
That was funny.
But regarding the powers, everybody used their powers well.
Yeah.
It wasn't not enough.
I liked how Johnny...
Except for Reed's, I guess, but...
I think Johnny definitely used his the most.
Yes.
But I was okay with that because... Like, when he, like, saves the girl, it's just his lower half on fire.
Yeah, that was such a nice...
Or when it's dark and he just...
Detail.
He's wearing, like, a sweater and he... just on fire. Yeah. But I don't really know how the physics of his fire works, because does it burn people? Does it not?
I would assume so, since he...
But he's like, he is wearing his normal...
He flamed off half his body to touch her, to save a girl.
But like, when he's wearing a sweater, he's just on fire from like the middle of his forearm up, but his like sweater doesn't get burned.
Maybe all of his clothes now are flame retardant. Oh, wait,
he does wear like normal clothes when he turns into... When he flames on,
yes.
When they're like
dinner,
and then all of a sudden they get the beep thing, and they removed one. I've noticed that they removed a lot of stuff from the trailers. John Malkovich has got cut.
Yeah, he got completely cut.
The shot where he grabs the surfboard and then gets like pushed off, and he's like slow mo falling. That was completely cut. I was waiting for that shot.
It was there, but it wasn't slow mo. I don't think.
No, because it just showed the like low angle shot, like looking up at him falling, but there wasn't one of like.
Oh, yeah.
Him like this.
Was there not?
I was waiting for it, and I was disappointed.
It was a nice detail to have him...
I liked his jacket.
When he reached space, flame started to leave.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of oxygen, which was nice. That was a nice detail. They really put a lot of effort into making sure like those little tiny details that comic book fans would notice in a heartbeat made it correct.
I guess we can kind of go into critiques. Can't really think of.
I don't have any except those two shots.
I just continuity stuff. I kind of wish it was longer, but that's just because I enjoyed it a lot.
It was less than 2 hours.
Yeah, I do feel like it filled its space, and I do think that the portal idea was a little not lazy, but it's just kind of they had to get the plot going.
Yeah,
but it was fine.
The fast forward on that was pretty quick.
Oh, that was insane. It went from idea to just straight up all these portals are
hundreds
around the
world of portals
now.
Around the world all of a sudden.
And then I felt so bad when Shia LaBeouf just starts blasting through all of them, and I was like,
mouth dropped.
It felt like, I don't know, like that clip. Don't know why this is the first thing I thought of. Harrison Ford with the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
He like throws it behind him. That was obviously like a thing that they set up. But, like, if that was real, the poor guy that sat there for days, probably weeks, building this huge Millennium Falcon.
Definitely months, honestly.
Like, just building this thing to just get shattered.
Yeah.
Like, all that work, I'd be like...
Oh. Yeah, my mouth dropped because, like, that was so out of left field. Like, I would assume that, like, it wouldn't have worked or something like that. Yeah. Or, you know, and then this movie honestly didn't... turn out the way I thought it would at all.
There was no explanation for the Thunderbolts post-credit scene. Or the mid.
No.
Was it mid or post?
Mid.
mid-credits, because I feel like the mid-credit scene's the sequel thing, and then the post-credit scene is, like, something wacky.
Yeah.
I like this one a lot. It was just the cartoon.
Yeah, the post-credit scene was nice, but also
the mid-credit scene, though, of this movie, we got to see... well, we didn't see his face, but Robert Downey Jr. as Victor Von Doom. This is on the set of Doomsday, but...
Yes, and they filmed the mid-credit scene... the Russos
directed
it.
I thought it would be Doomsday. I thought it'd be really cool if MF Doom started playing.
Doom did play the song Doom.
Yeah.
But yeah.
A song by MF Doom. I thought that would have been really funny.
Yeah. Did you say you were proud of me when I noticed the color change to green? On like the color grading?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good job. Nice. Fist bump. Smile. So, yeah. Because I was like, well, obviously they're going to show Doom. But and then they like just completely changed the color to kind of just show his presence.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of goes and leans over and is like, the color changed. And I was like, good job.
Yeah. So this movie didn't like...
explain what's happening.
No. But like, so here's how I thought the movie would play out.
Galactus eats the world.
Yes.
They get scared. Go away.
Their only option is to go through the portal.
Or like Galactus would, they'd find out the next planet, and then their planet would get eaten, and then they try to go help or something.
Yeah, or as like the world is getting eaten, that's when like they had no choice but to leave, and that would be the mid-credit scene of Thunderbolts.
I thought, and then when the movie is playing out, and then they leave Galactus's Earth Eater thing, and they go through the black hole. The whole time I was thinking Interstellar.
Yeah.
Because they had the same style of black hole, and then both of them were like the same. And then like the first one that they go through in Interstellar, and then the big one. But then we're taking a hard right. And then just, that reminded me of Open Season.
Yeah.
When he's like, where they're like, did you kill this deer? It's not hunting season. He goes, it just ran out in front of me. And he like just swerves up.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that they were going to just take the wrong turn and end up in the MCU world.
Yeah. During that scene, I was like, ooh, could this be leading to that part? But nothing as to what I thought would happen. And which I think made me like it a lot more.
I wasn't disappointed. I was kind
of... No, shocked. I think it made me like it a lot more because of the... Like, it wasn't predictable.
Yeah. Which, that was the last thing I expected.
Yes. So now, well, also, I just thought about this. So Galactus went through the black hole.
Mm-hmm.
So did Shalabal. Galactus's ship is still in orbit.
Well, yeah.
Wonder if that's just something that, you know, we're just supposed to forget about.
Or no, I feel like that's going to be something. Yeah. They might go on the ship or destroy
it. So, and here's what I think might happen.
Shalabal might take over. No. Wait, no, that wouldn't make sense.
No. Here's what I think will happen. I think that Dr. Doom is going to steal Franklin with their ship, and what we saw in Thunderbolt is actually
Dr. Doom
and Franklin. And then the Fantastic Four are going to take Galactus' ship to find him.
You want
to
make a bet?
Sure.
How much? A
crisp high five?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
If you're right.
Yeah.
So we'll come back in a year and a half to this topic and see if we were right or if you were right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how this is going to play out, but it'll be... I hope I'm right on this theory. The only thing, it'll be kind of interesting to see how the Fantastic Four manages Galactus's giant ship, because it's made for him. One last thing I'll say about this, and then we can kind of move on. But the way they did this Galactus and his ship will help the original Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, because it looks the same, but if you were just to throw a dust cloud in front
of it. Yeah, it's like a cloud. So, it's possible. I mean, Galactus is there's only one Galactus in anything. Comic book, movies, TV shows, games. Like, it's the same Galactus. So
it is, but it isn't. Technically, yeah. There's just one Galactus. So if you think about it, it has to be. But like, I don't know how I feel that the Galactus that we saw was the same one from Fortnite. I said Fortnite like a 50-year-old person. That was weird.
Yeah. The only thing about that, of that being the same person, is like Galactus got beat
by a bunch of 9-year-olds.
No, got beat by two separate Fantastic Four teams.
Ooh.
In movies.
So, actually, including TV shows, like 10.
Yeah. So
that's that means a little... that he's technically the same as the one in the comics and the Lego games.
So I wonder if that's going to be the case, if they go that direction.
He just stays losing. We'll see. He just stays losing.
Yeah, he's not very strong, apparently. If they keep to that, but we'll see.
I think we can go to Easter eggs.
Yeah.
So I think the best one is when Shia LaBeouf shows up, we cut to the inside of like a office-looking building.
Yep.
And we see a young Jack Kirby and a young...
Stanley. Yes, in what was the precursor to Marvel Comics. Yeah. You see the sign right there. That was...
Early drawing.
Yes, that was a cool touch. It was nice to see, like even in this one, there's a Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And there was also the 1994 Fantastic Four movie cast in the beginning when they're, like...
Yeah, when they're, like, showing the different, like... Reporters, is that what
it was? It's just like the people of New York. Like,
there's thank one you, Fantastic with like a Four. Red circle, and that's the 1994 cast.
Yeah, so that was a nice touch. Obviously, the cartoon stuff, like those are from cartoons. The Rogues Gallery was a nice touch.
Mole Man. We see when they're like showing the Fantastic Four's history, they fight. I don't remember his name. There's like Green Monster.
Yeah.
That is their first villain in the comics, and they, like, recreated the comic panel, like, perfectly.
Yeah. Let me see if I can pull it up. Yeah,
we had a lot.
There was, yeah.
I'm trying to, was there, I'm just going to cut this part out.
Mole Man, they have a lot of,
cameo.
Well, just looked up, Red Ghost was in it.
Oh,
Red Ghost in the
what was the apes? Dr. Doom one? What's the country called? Latveria?
Yes. Latveria. Yeah.
What is it?
Latveria,
country that Dr. Doom is, like, in control over. There's a part where they had this, like, world meeting, and he is not there. That was cool. I knew that meant something, but I had no idea what it meant when we were watching it until I looked it up. But that was a cool touch, I thought. Just kind of establishing his presence. And I thought that was an interesting choice to not have him, like, in this movie at all.
Yeah.
Till the very end. I didn't know. At first, how that was going to pan out. I thought he was going to show up at some point, but...
Yeah, I'm excited for Doomsday now.
I wasn't really excited for Doomsday.
I was more excited for Secret Wars than Doomsday.
I was just baffled that... Like, the MCU just felt lost and very convoluted until the last 5 to 10 minutes of Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
And then it all made sense.
Yes.
And I was like, that was a good move.
Yeah.
So, I do have a question.
What?
Is this the best Marvel movie of 2025? Or no, best superhero movie of 2025?
No.
You're going to say Superman?
Superman. Superman is better.
How would you rank all four?
Superhero movies this year?
Yeah.
Well, we got Superman, Thunderbolts, Fantastic Four. What's the fourth
Captain one? America.
Oh, Captain America by far.
Is at the top,
is,
right?
No, it's at the very, very bottom. Very, very bottom. Like, you could... It's... There's the ground.
Where Steve is underground.
Yeah.
And then this movie is below Steve.
Yeah, it's awful. Nothing about the movie was good. And then I would say Thunderbolts.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, I'd put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Fantastic Four. And then Superman.
Which I kind of feel bad putting Thunderbolts at that low. Because I feel like it shouldn't be, but like...
I mean, if another one comes out this year, I don't think there's another superhero movie coming out this year.
I don't think
it would
so.
At least be in the top five.
Well, at least it's in the top three.
Yeah. So, I mean,
but like Thunderbolts is a great movie.
It is a great movie. I'm not discrediting like that movie at all. It's just Superman was done so much better.
I also like Superman more than the Fantastic Four, but I almost like feel bad saying that because I love both. I will probably go. If we ever find a day to go watch Superman with Mikey, I'm definitely... Oh, we can spend a day at the theater.
Yeah, we can do both if he comes up or comes down.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, just... I was very curious to see how these two movies would go at it.
Yeah.
Like, which one would do better.
I do think Fantastic Four will do better at the box office.
I do, too.
Just because of... I do think if Superman...
Globally.
I think if the release date was flipped, I think Superman would do better.
I don't think so. If you look at global box office, because of the issue in Superman, Fantastic Four will do so much better.
That's a fair point.
So I think globally, I think Fantastic Four will do better.
Also, I feel like people are less aware of like the state of DC, because I feel like if people don't really care, or if they like watch the Snyder movies and are like, I didn't like it, then they probably don't know what is happening.
Yeah, but at least like we're still on like 20-something years of Marvel movies, you know? So yeah. I think Fantastic Four will ultimately do better, but...
Oh, speaking of the upcoming reboot and them introducing the mutants, how are they going to do Charles and Magneto? Because they are... Because Magneto is known as a Holocaust survivor.
It's probably good.
So they're going to be like 90.
Unless they do an event where they Fantastic Four, how they're in the 60s, and they're just going to bring them to the present. That might be how they do it.
Yeah.
That's probably...
I've always wondered how they're going to modernize it. Because, like, Captain America, they had to do that. They had to come up with something to take him to the future. Which, his character is kind of timeless now.
Yeah.
Because you can just keep delaying when he gets thawed out.
Yeah. Well, even with Superman, like...
Yeah, same with Superman.
Yeah. Like, the values of Superman and, like, what he fights for
changes. That's the biggest issue with establishing your character at, like, their origin at a certain time.
Yeah.
Captain America works because he's, like, frozen, but Fantastic Four works because you can just put that at any time. Spider-Man, almost every hero, but I feel like the mutants are a strange one to try to do. Just because of Charles and... Oh, I feel like maybe not as much Charles, but specifically Magneto.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I have a question for you. Which one did you like better, Herbie or the Superman bots?
Ooh, that is a good question. Superman bots.
Okay, I agree. Yeah, I agree with you.
Herbie
felt like an Astro Droid, like an R2 unit. Like,
I feel like the issue with Herbie is that he doesn't speak English, and it causes the other characters to do
Are you being biased against robots and droids?
Yes, because like then the other characters have the extra exposition where it just feels unnatural, because like he says something, and they're like, what do you mean the reactor is overheating?
Yeah.
But then if Herbie was like, the reactor's overheating, then Reed can just be like, we should probably fix that, rather than
repeating
what he said. At that point, just kind of...
That makes sense. Also, I feel like Herbie, like, he was there, but, like, he didn't really do anything.
Yeah. He was just kind of like a helping hand.
Yeah, that's all he was.
I thought that was...
But, like, I like how they all treated him like he was a friend and a pet.
Yeah.
Like, petting him and stuff, which was kind of strange, but it was nice touch.
I do like how they had, like, different modes, and they, like, take his face out. The flight mode
thing. Yeah, that was interesting.
So, I guess we're going to try something a little different. We're going to do, like, our own Rotten Tomatoes type thing, because Rotten Tomatoes has the critic score and the audience score. So, that was our full critic thing, and then our audience one will be really brief. Audience... wise, like, and just watching it as like just kind of turning my brain off
like a normal person.
Yeah, I thought it was a really fun movie. It was really enjoyable, very different, very campy, but not it looks more campy than it is.
Yeah, I'd say it looks campy, but
like on
is
par, it looks
a little bit
on par with being like just about as campy as like Tim Burton.
Yeah,
Batman Forever, even though he was like a producer.
Yeah,
that was Joel Schumacher, his Batman Forever. Like, it felt, it looked like that kind of campy-ishness, but it didn't feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really entertaining, and I was super...
It felt very natural, and it felt like an alternate universe.
Yeah. Yeah. I was happy with it all, especially, like, the 60s feel and, like, the time that it was taking place. I thought it was really great, and I was very pleased with the movie. If I just went to go watch it just to turn my brain off,
I could
watch it multiple times.
I think I've gotten pretty good at doing both at the same time.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I can do that.
I would say...
I feel like, with that, I feel like I notice more.
Yeah.
Like, there's things that pop out, like, right away that I'm like, oh, okay. I either hate it or it's like, ooh, that's a nice touch. That was a nice shot. That was, you know, oh, that CGI was bad or whatever the case may be. Like, I'm better at just... keep my brain turned off, but like as soon as I notice something, like it's there.
Sometimes if we watch something, you do the Leonardo DiCaprio thing from
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and where he's like,
oh. We did that when we watched Happy Gilmore, so we both did it at the same time.
Yeah. What did we do that at?
It was a cameo. One of the cameos.
Oh, it was Bad Friends.
Yeah.
On the Bad Friends podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I just remember this out of nowhere. The color grading. I'm really excited for when they make a From. If you're watching the video, you can see this. It's a company. They make phone cases and like wall art of each like line on it. It looks like a long barcode, but it's the color grading from each scene. And I'm really excited to, and wonder if they will do a From for this movie. I'm really excited to what that'll look like.
That'd be cool.
And if From would like to send us stuff. I like them. I like their company a lot. And I think that would be a really cool looking phone case or a piece of wall art.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
So what's your critic score? I think you gave it a 4 or 3.5?
No, I gave it a 4, I believe. Because it was really, really good.
My critic score was a 3.5. I feel like you can argue a 3 or a 4.
I don't think you could.
I feel like I could see an argument, but I wouldn't agree.
I don't think so. I like this movie was really, really good. For a Marvel movie, it was really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm marveled out. But like this, like the last two with Thunderbolts and this one, like it's really me back in to be excited for.
It's because the writers. Ones. I feel like writing has forgotten of like how important it is.
Yeah.
Well, every aspect is just as like important as the other. But like if you start off bad, then it's
nothing
just,
else is gonna fix it.
No, it's kind of like.
But you could have the coolest shots. You could have that. What is that one shot? The low angle
Dutch orbit.
Yes, that one. You could have as many of those as you want, but if the writing is not, if the script is not good, none of that stuff is going to help it. It's going to suck either way.
I'm trying to think of a movie that is like that. I could see Dread, like the remake. Visually looked great. I just feel like the writing was very good, but like everything else was amazing.
Yeah.
But like you can have a movie that just has bad editing and then everything else is good and it still be a decent movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm excited for it. I did give it a 4 on Letterboxd. I just looked.
What would your audience score be?
4.5.
I would probably say, I'd say a 4. Upon a rewatch, maybe a 4.5.
Yeah.
Maybe, on some of the critic score, I feel like I can go up to a 4 upon a rewatch. I would definitely be rewatching it probably this week. Maybe next week.
Probably next week.
On like a discount Tuesday.
Yeah.
But
the only issue with that is, we have to go to our movie theater.
Yeah, I did say that when we like left. No hate to our movie theater because it's like our movie theater, but like
it's not the same.
It's like eating A5 Wagyu, and then you have to go to $2 steak.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say that's a good example.
I feel spoiled now for movie theater experiences.
Yeah, movie theaters in America need to
step up
their game and take notes.
But keep the butter. And the
keep the butter and the seasoning and that stuff.
They had some weird seasonings there.
Yeah.
All right, so I think our next episode will be a movie news. This episode shouldn't be late. The movie news for last week was that was our fault and probably mostly the airport's fault.
Yeah, I'm going to blame it all on the airport.
And the hotel. I wasn't able to charge the computer, so the video version was released kind of late.
That's fine.
I don't really know what our next episode will be next Tuesday, but
we have some options. We have at least 15 options.
Yeah. So we'll see you this Friday.
Yep.
For a movie news. So
if there's any movie news that you want us to discuss, let us know and we'll.
Yeah. Last movie news was kind of, there wasn't that much.
Yeah. And I feel like this week there's not going to be a whole lot.
We've seen some stuff this week.
Yeah. We'll probably do a lot of discussion on San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah. So we'll see you this Friday.
Yep. And we're out.